Good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody out this morning. I'm glad that under the conditions, we still get to come in here and open the Word of God. We sort of take it for granted every now and then, don't we? How good it is. There's a lot of people that love to have the opportunity that we have. But I do appreciate it, and I thank y'all for being here. We've been looking over in the 23rd Psalm there for several weeks now, and we've got down to verse number 3. So just turn there, and we'll read those first three verses again. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And we'll stop the reading right there. And so last week we were dealing with the latter part of verse number 2, where it says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." And just as a review, because today we'll pick up where we left off. The first thing you got to understand is that in order for this to be true for each one of us, it says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." First off, you got to pay attention to who's doing the leading, and that leading is a compelling. He's leading. He leads by example. He leads by showing us the way. All these different things, but his leading is fruitless in our lives if we choose not to follow. And so what this tells us is that for this sheep to get the nourishment that they need, brother Holly, they've got to follow the shepherd, or else it just don't work. It don't provide any help, any sufficiency, which is what we're looking at. We're actually looking at how the Lord supplies the needs. And so he chooses to bring us beside, in close proximity to these still waters. And so, as we talked about last week, the waters can provide different meanings to different individuals throughout scriptures. But what I'm here to tell you this morning is that those waters for you are whatever you need. Whatever you need, he will supply.
Hey.
And you notice that they are still waters. So that still represents the calmness of them. And the sheep have to have that calmness, that stillness, in order to have comfort to be able to drink out of them. And so that's really where the Lord dealt in my heart as we spent most of our time last week, is the still waters, the peace that the sheep needs. And every one of us, to be effective in this Christian life, we need to have peace in our lives. And you will never get refreshment from the Savior without first having peace. You see, they can't get the waters, Brother Kevin, without there being peace. And so I think that's what the Scripture is trying to expressly say to us. There has to be peace in our lives. And we'll deal with a little more of that. So the question that I ask is, why is it that if peace is so important in the life of believers, why do you look around and you see so few believers with peace?
Go ahead.
Why is it? I don't understand why, when we look at the life of believers, I mean, for lack of a better term, they're running through life like a chicken with their head cut off. There's no peace. It's chaos. And there's no time of just being able to breathe and take in what God's done. And we need that so bad. And I'm afraid we've allowed ourselves to get too busy is a big part of it. And the devil wants to keep it that way. And so me and Kelsey had a conversation just the other night. Is sometimes we just get overwhelmed, Brother Jesse. And it's not in the sense that we're doing anything we ought not do. It's just, man, we're trying to get this done and trying to get this done, and we're trying to go here and make sure your kids are taken care of, and you're trying to touch all the bases and make sure everything's just right. And before you know it, you're overwhelmed.
That's right.
And there's no peace. And I'm talking about individual peace within yourself. And that affects all the peace around you. But you know, I looked at these verses with you last week. Isaiah chapter 9, and I'll read these to you. You don't have to turn there. Isaiah 9, verse 6 through 7 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end.
That's right.
Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord will perform these.
Right.
So we know that Christ himself is the Prince of Peace. We said, you know, if he ever was, he still is. Yeah. If he ever will be, he is. So we know he is the Prince of Peace. But the question is, he came to bring peace, but we know that this promise has not been fulfilled yet.
That's right.
So we know there's not peace throughout the world right now. We saw the same thing in Luke chapter 2, verse 13 through 14. It says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So we know that Christ's coming brought peace to the earth. But still yet, I think everybody in here would surely agree that when you look around, most of the earth is not peaceful. So there's a disconnect there somewhere. And Christ said it himself that even though he was the peace that came to earth, he did not come to send peace throughout the earth.
That's right.
That was not his goal.
That's right.
Not in that coming. But he came to send a sword, he said.
Amen.
He came to divide. He
That's
said,
right.
He said, son and father and mother and daughter, there would bring division. So what he came to do was not to bring peace, his first coming, to the entire creation, but to individually deal with the hearts of man and bring peace to Brother Bill and Brother David and Braden and Brother Hiley and Doug, individual people. And you see in his life on a daily basis, he dealt with individuals. Now he would deal with groups, but he so loved and intimately desired individual personal relationships with people. I mean, we just see that throughout his life's ministry. He went out of his way to deal with single people, individuals. He came to Zacchaeus, and in the midst of a multitude, he went right under where Zacchaeus was at. Why did he do that? He wanted a relationship with Zacchaeus. He wanted a relationship with that woman at the well. All these different people, he specifically went to them because he wanted an individual relationship. Christ came to bring peace, but he didn't come to bring it between Joe and Kevin. He came to bring it between God and Kevin, and God and Joe. And what happens when that peace gets right, then those two have no problem having peace.
Right?
And that's the problem. That's why we have so much chaos today. The problem is our peace with God is out of sorts. There's something wrong. And that's why we see families that are divided. We see churches that are divided. We see homes divided. You just go down the list. It's because most likely the individuals don't have the peace that they need with God.
Right.
And so that's what we're dealing with. By Ephesians chapter 2, as I said, teaches us that he is our peace. And he desires that each individual here have the peace of God. And most importantly, has peace with God. And so we looked at, as we ended last week, we stopped here with the definitions of peace. And I'm going to read those again. So the Bible says that Webster 1828 says the definitions of peace are these. This covers most of them. A state of quiet or tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation, freedom from war, freedom from internal commotion, freedom from private quarrels, quietness of mind, calmness. But then it says this, heavenly rest, the happiness of heaven.
Amen.
And then it also says this, harmony, concord, a state of reconciliation between parties at variance. So what I'm here to tell you, Brother Joe, if you need peace with God, you need that last one. Harmony, concord, a state of reconciliation between parties at variance. He's never been the one in the wrong, though. It's us. And so understand, if you need peace with God, it's It's you're the one who's making the problem. So we need it in order to get peace with God, we need that last one. But all the other definitions have to do with the peace of God, the peace that God gives to His people. And so I'll try to clarify that as we continue this. So Romans 5:1, we're thinking about still waters. We're talking about peace, the calmness that comes through His peace. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
A wonderful verse that hopefully all of us in here know by heart. If not, you need to know that one by heart. But understand that sentence is divided by a comma. And so it says, therefore, being justified by faith, comma. So here's the cause. Here's the root. You got to have this part. If you got to get this part right.
That's right.
Before you get to the second part of the sentence. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So a prerequisite to having peace with God is having justification by faith.
That's right.
See, Job asked the question. He said, how then can a man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? He asked a real good question. You preached on it a while back. How is it? Well, you've got to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
It takes that. Being justified means this: pardoned and cleared from guilt, absolved or acquitted from guilt and merited punishment, accepted as righteous on the account of the merits of Christ. That's what being justified is. It doesn't mean that you are right or that you're doing right. It just means that He accepts you as right.
That's right.
And it's a transaction that occurs in heaven with God that you and I cannot visibly see. So in order to be justified or to have peace with God, you must first be justified. And justified by faith. Now, if you want to flip over to Romans chapter 3, we'll read a little passage that explains some of this. Now, I know that most of this is to unbelievers, this part right here. People have never been born again. And you say, why are we doing this in Sunday school? Well, I'm not so ignorant as to believe that everybody in here is saved. And so if you're here and you're wanting peace, the peace of God in your life, you can't get there without having peace first with God. And so that's why I'm dealing with this right now. I understand there's people here that's probably never been justified by faith. I'm not looking at anybody specific. I'm just saying I just realize that we put on good faces and we come to Sunday school and we act like everything's right, but the truth of the matter is there's probably several folks in here that just ain't right with God. And so I'm here to help you this morning. So Romans chapter 3, verse 21 says, but now the righteousness of God without the law, that's outside of the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So being justified freely by His grace. So you notice that in Romans 5, just a couple chapters over, He says being justified by faith. But then we come here, He says being justified freely by what? His grace.
Right.
You know what I find in Scripture? They line up together. They work together. In order to get the grace of God, you got to have faith. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, we're saved by grace through faith.
That's
and that
right.
Not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So He says in verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation or satisfaction through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. If you want remission of your sins, you have to have faith in His blood, the work that He did. Sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus.
Yes,
you understand He's the just one, and because He's the just one, He's the one that can pronounce you and I just.
Yep.
Justified. Justified, never sinned. I like that real good. It's not true that I've never sinned, but because of what He did, God can look at When he looks at me, he don't see me, Brother Hiley.
Amen.
He sees the work of his Son.
Right.
And he says, because he's just and he's right and he's the mediator, he's the one that is between us, he's the one I see when I look at them.
Hey.
So he don't see me anymore.
Hey,
so I'm just in his eyes, but now in my eyes, I'm still sorry, Brother Kevin.
Yes,
but in God's eyes, I'm just.
Thank God.
Justified. But that's the work that he did. I didn't have anything to do with that. He gave me the faith to believe. He sent me the gospel of peace. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And because it's the gospel of peace, it's the good news that I can have peace with God. And how do I get that? I get it through by justification, through faith, by his grace. That's how it works. If you're here today and you're trying to live a good life in order to have peace, it just don't work without peace with God first. You might as well beat your head up against a wall. It will accomplish nothing without first having peace with God. And that peace only comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why it's so important today that we get that part right. We've got a lot of people that have that part wrong. And so understand that in order to have a life of peace, there's no way outside of Christ. It's just impossible. And so, the Bible's clear. You've got to have peace with God. Or you can have any other kind of peace with anything else in life. You've got to get that one right. So if you're here today and you don't have peace with God, no matter how hard you try, no matter how you think you're good your life is, you don't have peace. Peace means that things have been reconciled between you and Him. Things are made right, and that only comes through faith in the Lord Jesus. And so next is what we really want to get into is the part that I think David was more steering toward is the peace that the believer, the follower of the Lord Jesus can have that is so important on a day-to-day basis. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I just want you to see how important, Brother Doug, that it is that every day you wake up that you have the peace of God in your soul.
Amen.
You will never be effective as a Christian without the peace of God. And so Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, I mean, y'all are welcome to turn there. You're welcome to listen either way. He says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, you all hopefully know where the next verse goes. But I don't think the next verse can happen if that verse is not in its place. See, the problem is we think that we can have peace with God or the peace of God in our lives without doing anything on our part. But it refers back to Psalm 23 about those still waters. The Bible says that He leadeth me beside the still waters. He puts us, Brother Hiley, in real close proximity to Him. They're right there. And we can get to Him easily. But there still has to be a choice on the part of that sheep, on the part of you and I as believers, if we want that peace of God down in our soul. On a day-to-day basis, there are things, there are choices that you and I have to make.
Sure.
Folks, I can't have peace in my heart with God without picking this book up. I personally can't, and I honestly don't think you can either.
Sure, brother.
It just don't work that way.
That's right.
You can't go week after week, day after day, and never pick up the Word of God and expect to have His peace down in your soul. I'm not talking about salvation here. We got that covered. If you've been justified by faith, you're right with God, you have peace with God. But we're talking about the peace of God that changes the life of the believer on a day-to-day basis, that affects how they live, how they conduct themselves. You notice he said in Philippians 4, he said, be careful for nothing. In other words, he said, don't worry about it. That's what he's saying. He's saying, as a believer, As a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what news you get, no matter what happens, you have zero to worry about. You remember what Paul said when we talked about it a few weeks ago? He lost all of his worries. How did he do that? Because he learned whatever state he was in to be content, Brother Matt. He said, I have Christ and Christ alone, and that is all I need.
Amen.
And so we have to get to that point for this scripture to take control. Be careful for nothing. Is that easy? No, it's not easy. We read these things like they're easy. These are not easy things. It is not easy for me day to day to relinquish my cares and my worries.
That's right.
And put them in the hands of somebody else.
Sure.
I want to take them and take care of them myself. That's the flesh. I want to handle it, Brother Darrell. That's what I want to do. I'm a fixer. I want to fix it. If there's a problem in my marriage, you know what I want to do?
Sure.
I want to fix it. Problem is, it's not always for me to fix. And there's a whole lot of things in this life that I can't fix. And the older I get, the more I realize it. And so I got to take it to the master mechanic, the master fixer. And I got to put it in his hands, Brother Joe. And man, the quicker we learn that, the better off we'll all be.
Yes.
He says, Brother Cliff, be careful for nothing. There for a long time you struggled with a care, didn't you? A long time. He says, still I have got him. Amen. And that's all right. And you know, another discussion me and my wife had this week, and I'll just say it here, is that we Christians need to be honest.
Yes.
We come in, and we were talking about this. We sat for 3 hours talking the other night, just at the table, just discussing things. And one of the things that we talked about was, man, everybody puts on a good face and lets on like their life is perfect. And when they come here, it's let's go to church and we're going to put on and we're going to worship. But as soon as they step out those doors, there's turmoil and there's chaos. And it don't matter, Brother Hiley, how long you been saved?
Long time.
A lot of life, right? A lot of years.
Oh, yeah.
There's still days that you have troubles, ain't there?
Yeah.
Brother Delmer would tell you, there's still problems. This ain't something that you just fix overnight. But it's something that we need on a daily basis.
Yes,
and man, remember, he said, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. In order to have the peace of God down in your soul, you have to learn to just relinquish the problems and just give them over to him. And say, Lord, I can't do anything about it. But you can. And do what you know to do.
Yes.
And trust God with the rest.
Yes, brother.
And don't worry about it. I asked an old man one time. He's up in his 80s. And Dad knows him and Kelsey knows him. My mom knows him real well. Grew up around this fella. He's an old man, jolly man. And I don't even know if he was saved. But he was the happiest person I think I ever remember being around in my life. And I asked him one day, I was probably in college at the time or high school. I said, what's your secret? I said, how do you enjoy life so much? And he said, Josh, I made a choice a long time ago. I'm not going to worry about it. That's what he said. He said, I just chose not to worry about it. Now, I'm not saying there's not some things that we need to be concerned about. But you all understand there's a whole lot in life that we just latch a hold of and it consumes us. And we just sit and worry and fret ourselves over things that we cannot fix. Wouldn't it be good to just let those go and just let Him, let God? He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Folks, if you've got worries and cares, where do we take them? We take them to Him. He told us to come boldly before the throne of grace, you might obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Folks, that's what we can do. That's the sweet peace and the consolation that the life of a believer can be consumed with and filled with. That's why Paul said, I've learned how to abound and how to be abased. He said, it don't matter how I am. He said, that's why I can look at my whole life behind me and say, I just count it all but dung. It don't matter. It's gone. There ain't no need to worry about it no more. He said, I'm looking forward. And I've got something better to look forward to than what I'm looking at right now. The cares of this life pale in comparison to the glory that's going to be revealed in us one day. That's what we said. For I reckon that the sufferings, this present time, that's what Brother Kevin was talking about the other night. He said he started weighing those things out, and he said, well, I've done figured out if you stack it up here and you stack it up here, that the sufferings of this present time are way down here compared to the glories that one of these days we're going to see. They're going to be revealed in us. Thing is, we can't see them right now. So we've got to believe it by faith. We've got to trust that His Word's true. It's right. He's going to accomplish what He said He's going to accomplish. He still says in the book of Philippians that He's going to perform the work that He said He would perform. Whatever He starts, He's going to finish. He makes the difference. Why do we worry about it so much? Let's just trust God and go on serving Him. That's what we need to do. If we do those things, if we trust Him, if we just bring it to Him by prayer, supplication, taking it to God, if we do those things, just be thankful for what He has done and what we already know He's going to do. What's the next part say in verse 7? It says, And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. You see, on the outside, people can't understand a life like the Apostle Paul's. But Kevin, they couldn't understand. They couldn't understand when Stephen was standing there being stoned and he said, don't lay this sin at their charge. Why could he have that peace? Because he lost his worry. He done placed it all on Christ. If I live, if I die, don't matter. I'm just trusting Christ. It says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's why when us three right here, it was, went to Miss Chet's house the other night. Now, it broke my heart. It was the first time she didn't remember me. First time I'd been there. But it didn't matter if she remembered me. And Brother Kevin, I don't think she ever said your name. She asked who Joe was 3 times. It did not matter. Knowing in her mind, I don't think she knew one of us. Don't get me wrong, I think there was some comfort that she kind of knew who we were, but she couldn't told you our name. But yet she could lay there, and she said, oh, the resurrection. She said, I'm looking forward to the resurrection. And her eyes got red, and they just swelled up with just puddles of water around them, and you could see it. I'm looking forward to that day.
Hey.
She'd look at you, and she'd say, man, she said, now, she wasn't laying there saying, man, I'm on oxygen and I'm laying here in a hospital bed in my living room. I can't even go to my bed. She didn't lay there and say, my husband died. She didn't say, I've got to have somebody sitting here with me all the time to take care of me. She didn't say none of that.
That's right, brother.
I mean, she didn't. I don't even think it crossed her mind, Brother Kevin. She just laid there and she said, oh, it's good to be saved. That's what she did.
Hey, God.
And all I could do, say, Miss Jen, I love you.
Hey.
So you mean the world to me. And for those of you that know her, she does to you too.
That's right.
She used to sit right over there, well, in the old church. She'd sit right over there where Benny sits. And I don't know if a service would hardly go by where she wouldn't stand up and just start crying. Say, oh, the Lord's been good to me.
Praise God.
And for most of that time that I remember, her husband wouldn't even come to church with her. She'd come by herself.
Brother Matt. Sit on that front row. You say, it's good to be saved. But that's just the peace of God.
Yeah, brother.
Why can she do that? Why, when she's literally losing her mind, why can her mind still be stayed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do you think that is? Do you think she just learned how to do that when she got sick?
No.
No. It's that years ago she chose to make the decision that no matter what comes in my life, no matter how hard it gets, no matter what my children do, no matter what my husband does, I am going with God. And now we see that on the, at the end of her road. She could still lay there with joy in her heart and just say, thank the Lord. Folks, it's that hard, but it's that simple. It's only hard because we make it hard. Just let it go and trust the Lord. It says, He shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's a promise. That is a precious promise that we have. But it hinges on verse 6. That we're doing the things that we know to do. Colossians 3:15 says, And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Just let it rule. You know what that means, Brother Matthew? It means just take your hands off.
Yes, brother.
Let, to allow. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called. You understand, that's a calling on every person in this room that is a believer, is that we let the peace of God rule in our hearts. If you're not doing that, you're missing your calling. I'm missing my calling when I don't let the peace of God rule in my heart. It says, to the which you're also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Folks, we ought to just let the peace of God do what it wants to do in our lives. And just lose the stress, lose the worry, and trust Him. There's not one person in here that can, Miss Valerie, you couldn't change the fact that you had cancer, could you? Couldn't change it. Brother Lynn, you've got back issues. You can't fix that. We've all got issues. I'm using them because they're public. Everybody here probably knows those things. And I know they ain't going to get mad at me. They can't fix it. All they can do is trust the Lord. Go to the doctors that He's put in their life. Pray about it. Trust Him. And say, Lord, whatever You want, it'll just have to be that way. And I'm just going to trust You through it. In the life of the Apostle Paul, he had to suffer with it. You remember the thorn in his flesh. He went to Christ and prayed about it three times. It says thrice. Lord, I want this thing gone. He got his answer. My grace is sufficient.
Hey.
That's all that he got. But that was a lot. That was a lot to live every day of his life with the grace of God and the peace of God. I find it interesting as we wrap this section up that in every one of the writings of the Apostle Paul, every one of them, either at the front of the epistle or the end of the epistle, he would start or end with something like this. It would be a blessing. He said, grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of them. He put peace and grace right together because it's of the utmost importance of the life of every one of us who professes the name of Christ, to have an effective Christian walk that has an effect. Brother Matt, I want my life to affect people I work with.
Amen.
But not only that, I want my life to affect you.
That's right.
I want it to affect my pastor.
Amen.
I want to have such a peace of God about my life and in my heart, Brother Holly, that when you're around this church, that it affects you.
Amen.
I'm not talking about just being a light to sinners. I want to encourage the saints. I want to push them on down the road a while. Help them, lift them up, encourage them.
Yes, brother.
That's why it's so important. We need each other. And more than anything, we need the Lord.
Hey.
But it is so important that we have the peace of God. And man, it ranks right up there. Now, we're not talking about salvation here, this part. We're just talking about that day-to-day grace that God gives, that day-to-day peace that we need just to live our life in a way that just pleases Him. We've got to have it. And we can't do it without peace with God and the peace of God. And now everybody understands where peace comes from. The Bible's real clear that it's the peace from God. He's the only one who gives the peace. And so the question is, as we wrap up today, thought we'd get a lot farther, but the question is, do you have peace? First off, is it settled in your heart that there is peace between you and the Father all through the Lord Jesus? If that's not settled, you can get it settled today. But if you know that you've been born again, that you've been justified by faith, do you live a life day to day letting the peace of God rule in your heart? He says to. It's a commandment. Just like in Philippians, it was a promise. Guess what it is over here in Colossians? It's a commandment to let it rule. Paul says you need to do this. Folks, we got to have both. And we need to let Him rule. And then as we finish up here, you know, the question is, do you know the God of peace? Five times in the Scripture I find that He's called the God of peace.
Hey.
That made me happy.
Yeah, brother.
Five times. The last one I'm going to read to you here, you can flip with me over into Hebrews chapter 13. We've already read it when we were talking about verse number 1. Hebrews 13, verse 20, says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So I'm thankful that we serve the God of peace. And it's His desire that every person in this room has peace.
That's right.
That's what He wants. As we conclude, the last thing I want to say, as I studied peace and looked at the different things in the Bible, and man, if you wanted to spend time on that, you could exhaust years. But, you know, I thought this. We preach the gospel of peace, written by the author of peace, about the King of peace and the Lord of peace, so that you may know the God of peace and find the way of peace. All those are listed right here in our Scripture. It's called the gospel of peace. He's the author of peace, the King of peace, the Lord of peace, the God of peace. And this way that we're in is to be the way of peace.
Amen.
Is your way the way of peace? It should be. So I appreciate everybody's good attention. I'm just going to quit right there. And we'll have prayer for all ages, all genders, back through there, through the halls. You just find you. Well, huh? What? Oh, never mind. We will not. Never mind. So I don't know. Are we going to do any praying? We'll go to Nathaniel's room. All right. Don't go to the fellowship hall, folks. I'm sorry.